Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Last Word
with Matt Cooper
on Today FM.
In studio with us now, John Deasy, the former Fine Gael TD, who's also former Irish government envoy to the US Congress, and Dan O'Brien, the chief economist of the Institute of International and European Affairs. The reason being, we want to talk about what a Trump presidency could potentially mean for the Irish economy, especially when all of the various political parties are throwing around money like snuff at a wake, and the promises that they are making based on assumptions of continued high corporation tax revenues and also continued large Irish exports to the US. And in the run-up to the presidential election, the chief executive and chairman of Cantor Fitzgerald, Howard Lutnick, made comments about Ireland which are now highly relevant, given that it's been reported in the last hour he is to be the next US Commerce Secretary. Let's hear what he said about Ireland in Bloomberg in mid-October.
Let's go over what Apple does right now. This is a simple example. They make the parts in China.
Yeah.
They put the parts together in Taiwan. Then they wave their magic wand and it floats over Ireland. Of course it floats over Ireland because that's where Apple does its products. And then it comes to America and they make, I don't know, something like 3% profit in America. They pay corporate tax on 3% profit in America. And Ireland announces a massive budget surplus for their 5 million people. Ha, ha.
So this
it's just not true. Why is Ireland announcing a surplus? Oh, give me a break.
As it happens, Cantor Fitzgerald actually has operations in Ireland, but that doesn't seem, Dan O'Brien, to be factored into Howard Lutnick's thinking. How concerning is it that he is now going to be a significant voice in the Trump administration?
I don't know enough about the guy to say, give a judgment on him, but I think we have to take seriously what Donald Trump has said in over a long period of time about his views on free trade and openness to free trade. And they are, as he's called himself, a tariff man. He wants to put taxes on everything that comes into the US that's shipped into the US. We are, on a per-head basis, we export more stuff to the United States than Mexico or Canada, never mind any other European country.
Sorry, we're expecting more,
we're
exporting more to the United States than Mexico or Canada.
On a per head basis.
Okay.
So last year, €10,000 for every man, woman and child in this country was earned from export earnings to the United States alone. So that shows that we're very, very exposed to the United States. And if Donald Trump goes ahead with tariffs and his commerce secretary is involved, and there's his new commerce secretary, that will mean there will be taxes on everything that leaves this country that's shipped over to the US, and tariffs that reduce trade. The only question is by how much.
Why would Donald Trump put tariffs on the import of essential goods like pharmaceuticals if it's going to make them more expensive for the people who voted him in to deal with a cost of living crisis?
He would probably argue that American companies, and many of the pharmaceutical companies in Ireland are American, should be making drugs for Americans in America and paying Uncle Sam the taxes on that. So he, if he's is true to his word, wants to pressure American companies based outside America to bring their jobs back home to America and make everything that they sell in America in America. That is why we are so exposed, because we are such big exporters to the US, and a lot of those companies are American companies selling back to the US market.
But can you easily move a pharmaceutical plant from Ireland to the United States?
That's the question. So that's one positive thing that we've got going, is that these companies spend billions in fixed costs. So you can't just disassemble a pharmaceutical plant and move it across the US. That said, it's not clear, you know, there are so many different parts of the pharmaceutical production process. There may be plants in the US where they could simply decide we're going to ramp up production in the US and dial it down in Ireland. Now, in some cases, that won't be possible. In some cases, it will. But if the pharmaceutical industry sees the future is tariffs, we are going to over, years have to shift our investment for the American market into America.
Okay, pharmaceuticals, very important. 70,000 direct jobs in Ireland and all of the revenues coming in. But what about all the other high corporation taxpayers in Ireland? He made reference to Apple. Could all of those, particularly in the tech sector, decide that they'd be better off reshoring their profits and paying the tax there rather than paying it in Ireland?
That's exactly it. Now, I have to say, I don't see the Apple figures, the showing up in the trade data. It's mostly pharmaceutical. 75% of what we exported to the US last year in goods terms was pharmaceutical. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the Apple thing. But there is no doubt that companies like Apple pay a lot of corporation tax, whether they're actually physically shipping stuff out of here to the US market. And those corporation taxes are absolutely massive compared to our peer countries. More of our government revenue comes from corporation tax than any other peer country, barring Norway, which is an energy producer. So we are very dependent on those taxes. So it's exports, it's government revenue, jobs, really big issue.
John Deasy, what, if anything, can we do to protect our exports and our tax revenues?
I think if you're just listening to Trump and Lutnick and a couple of other people around his campaign, you would be worried. It is ominous, but, you know, it's not the only show in town. And if, when you're talking about tax and trade, you'll end up very quickly going to the U.S. Senate, and particularly the U.S. Senate Finance Committee. It's hard to know what the dynamic is going to be with regard to the members of that committee.
Well, Trump just control it and tell them to do as he wants.
Well, we're going to find out very quickly, because how they react to Trump generally when it comes to his nominations. And you'll get an indication as to how they deal with those, and, you know, how they're going to deal with him generally over the next few years very quickly. Already, there are about 6 or 7 Republican senators who are not going to toe the line. They've made that very clear when it comes to people like Matt Gaetz and his nomination as Attorney General.
Yeah, but might they just block the likes of Matt Gaetz and then leave the other ones like Lutnick through as a sort of a quid pro quo?
I think there are a couple in danger right now. The issue is, are they going to stand up to Trump or just go along with everything that he says? When it comes to the US House, I think it's fairly clear that they will just allow Trump to do whatever he wants. But when it comes to the United States Senate, it's a completely different proposition. These people take the institution very seriously. They take themselves very seriously. Somebody like Chuck Grassley, who's been in the Senate for 44 years, isn't somebody to take diktats from people like Donald Trump. The other wild card here is that Mitch McConnell is still there. He still has 2 years to serve. He's not the majority leader any longer. He is just an ordinary Republican senator. This man does not care for Donald Trump and will exert over the next 2 years a serious influence on his colleagues within the US Senate. This has huge bearing for Ireland. What you're looking for initially is an indication from Republican senators, particularly on the Tax Writing Committee, Senate Finance Committee, if they're just going to go along with everything Donald Trump and his appointees do when it comes to tax and trade. And that's what that is what you're going to be looking for in the next couple of months.
For the last number of decades, the Irish government has enjoyed an enormous amount of diplomatic success, particularly with access to the White House, to get things for Ireland the way that we want. There's a perception now that that has been waning in recent years. Is it likely to be obliterated during a Trump regime? And are there other methods then by which Ireland can try and get some influence on decision making?
I think obliteration is, I think it's a bit of an exaggeration right now. Richie Neal was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. He will be out of this process. This process will be, when it comes to the tax bill, will be done through budget reconciliation. The reason it's a fast tracking of the tax bill, as they did in 2017. The reason for that is they will sidestep the filibuster in the Senate, and they will try and push it through the Senate and the House. Richie, all our eggs were in one basket when it came to tax and trade for the last couple of years, because Richie was chairman. He's out of this now. So is it ominous for Ireland? Yes. Is it hopeless? No. A lot of these pharmaceutical companies, if you just take that area, for example, they're run by Republicans. These are people who have access and influence in Washington. They're people who, you know, we will piggyback on companies like that. in Washington for influence, and they know these people very well, particularly in the Senate Finance Committee. We'll be relying on them a lot in the next year. The question is, do their interests ultimately align with the Irish state? Now, I'd have a worry in that regard. But do we have ammunition? Do we have bullets? Yes. Do we have four Republicans who will actually oppose a tax bill on the Senate floor if it's injurious or if it affects the Irish economy? We don't have four Republican senators to actually vote against a bill.
Don O'Brien, just to finish up on this, though, will Trump be persuaded, you think, not to go ahead with tariffs on the basis that if he imposes tariffs, there's likely to be retaliatory tariffs from the European Union and from other economic blocs, which would lead to a trade war, which would lead to inflation because of shortage of goods and services, which means that everybody would lose.
Yep, that's, you know, you just don't find many economists who think this is a good idea on either side of the Atlantic. So, you know, if he goes ahead with it, just to pick up what John was saying there, my understanding is the US president, by using a particular provision, can bypass Congress when it comes to setting tariffs. So he could move on his own without congressional approval.
And has done that previously when it comes to steel and aluminium. Now, the Senate Finance, or the Senate Republicans back then, allowed him to do so willy-nilly. Now, the question is, will they, and they have jurisdiction over tariffs within that committee.
Okay.
Will they allow him to do it a second time?
But briefly to both of you, does this mean that the political parties looking for our votes in the current general election are being somewhat reckless in making all sorts of assumptions about what money they will have to spend when it is seriously at risk because of all of this?
It's too early to say because we don't know what's on any bill. And we don't know exactly what the dynamic is going to be between the Senate Finance Committee in particular.
But if you don't know, should you not be budgeting on that basis?
Well, maybe so.
Dan?
Yeah, look, as an economist, I certainly would think that if you face a risk, and it is definitely a risk that could have a big impact for us, so risk and impact, then you're prudent and you salt away and you're prepared for that. So certainly from an economic perspective, it would be the best thing to pull back on the promises to have something in the kitty if we are badly affected.
Don O'Brien, Chief Economist, Institute of International and European Affairs, and John Deasy, former Irish Government Envoy to US Congress. Thank you both.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.